What kind of fool are you? I know that question presumes that you are some kind of fool, one kind of fool or another, and it's probably right. The Bible talks about a number of different kinds of fools. Today, we're going to look at five of them. There are more. Those of you who are reading through Proverbs with our daily readings read a lot about fools, and we're not going to focus on any of those, but we are going to focus on five kinds of fools that the Bible talks about. Tomorrow is April Fool's Day. So, when you think about it being April Fool's Day, ask yourself, what kind of fool am I? What kind of fool are you? Well, the first kind of fool that we're going to notice is the unbeliever, the atheist. Number one on your sheet is, some fools are atheists or unbelievers. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good. The atheist is the one who says, there is no God. But you know, there are also agnostics. There are people who say, well, I don't know if there's a God or not. Very famously, in the 20th century, Bertrand Russell, the English philosopher, called himself an atheist. But in a debate with Father Frederick Copleston, a Jesuit priest and philosopher, Copleston pointed out that Russell had no evidence, nor does anyone else, that God doesn't exist. That the only position you could hold is either believing in God or saying, I just don't know. And so Bertrand Russell, after that, famously became an agnostic. But you know, agnostics really don't have a leg to stand on either. The Bible tells us that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the skies proclaim the handiwork, the work of his hands. When we look at creation, when we look at the stars, when we look at the birth of a new child, when we look at family love, when we look at all of those things, all of those beauties in creation, how can people believe that they just randomly happened? In fact, very few scientists now do believe that they randomly happened. Some are even saying, well, there had to be a first cause, and it was probably aliens from another galaxy. And that just begs, that just calls for the very next question, which is, where did the aliens come from? Absolutely. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You know, I like to watch nature programs. I've told you this before. And these programs will just show the beauty of creation, amazing splendors, intricacies, vastness, and then at some point they'll throw in how these had to have randomly evolved. And I think, how blind can you be? How can you not see in this amazing work of art the hand of the artist? Some are fools because they're unbelievers. They're atheists. But unbelievers aren't the only kind of fools. Number two on your sheet is that some fools are disobedient. They believe in God, they're just disobedient. Have you ever read the Sermon on the Mount? It's Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lays out practical, ethical teaching for his followers. And he tells us how to deal with anger. He tells us how to deal with lust. He tells us what to do with money and material possessions. You've read it. You remember, so do not be angry if you look with lust, pluck out your eye, all that stuff. He talks about generosity. He talks about prayer. He talks about fasting. Have any of you ever read or heard the Sermon on the Mount? Everybody has? At the end of it, Jesus says, if you've heard this teaching and you put it into practice, then you're like a wise man who builds his house on a rock, on a solid foundation. And the wind and waves and storms come, and the house stands strong. But then he says, in Matthew 7, 26 and 27, the end of that sermon, but anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Anyone, Jesus says, I'm not saying this, anyone who knows his teaching and doesn't put it into practice is a fool. God has given us the guidelines for full, abundant life, the instructions for living life as his follower and living life to the fullest. And there are many who hear his word. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is not the whole gospel, but about the Sermon on the Mount, just about that teaching, Jesus says, if you don't put it into practice, if you don't obey, you're a fool. Any of us who have heard the Sermon on the Mount but don't live by it, what kind of fool are you? Other fools are materialistic. That's number three on your sheet. Jesus told a parable in the 12th chapter of Luke about a rich man. He was a farmer, and he was already rich when the story begins, but he has a great year, a bumper crop, and he says, you know, I've got it made from here on out. I'm going to tear down all my old barns. I'm going to build new barns. I'm going to store up everything for myself, and I'm going to retire. I'm going to take it easy from here on out, because since I have all of this material, I have all the money I need, and since I have all the money I need, I have everything I need. Now, I paraphrased a little bit, but you can go back and read the parable in the 12th chapter of Luke and see if I got it close. And it ends with these words. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then Jesus comments, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, our society blatantly promotes, strongly promotes this brand of foolery. Our economy depends on it. Turn on the radio. Turn on the TV. Watch a video on your computer and see if somebody doesn't try to sell you something. You know, there was a company that decided to build its production plant in a developing nation because the labor was cheap. And so they went down there and they built the plant and they hired the people of the society to come to work, and they paid them a pittance. I mean, they went down there because they could pay them less than minimum wage here in America. I'm so sorry. Thank you for your patience. And the people went to work, and they had a great week, and they got paid. And the next week, nobody showed up because they had gotten paid more in that one week than they were used to getting paid for the whole year. What was the company going to do? Somebody had a brilliant idea. They filled the island with mail order catalogs. And people began to look through the catalogs and say, ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want that. Ooh, my life would be better if I had that. I'll go back to work. But Jesus says, you fool. If you think your life is about the stuff you have, and you're not rich towards God, you're not generous, you don't give, you don't share, but you hoard, you're a fool. If you think your life is about the stuff that you have, that's the kind of fool you are. And then some kinds of fools, some fools are, we'll call them natural fools. That's number four. Some fools are natural fools. We talked about them last Sunday in the sermon Bewitched, where Paul said to the Galatians, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? When the Holy Spirit is available to you, when the power of the Spirit has been given to you, are you really going to try to accomplish your purposes, as opposed to God's purposes, by your power, by your might, as opposed to God's power and might? We talked about Zechariah 4:6, where as Zerubbabel was rebuilding the temple after the Babylonian exile, facing a very difficult task, we read, so he, the Lord, said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. It is such a temptation to fall into the foolishness of wanting to do things our own. We start falling into that foolishness at about age 2. Do it myself. Do it myself. Well, we continue to say that so often to God all of our lives, when He is right there to help us, to strengthen us, to empower us, to do it for us. We trust in our own power. We trust in the flesh. As Paul was writing to the Philippians, he said this, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider them loss for Christ's sake. Last Sunday, I was so gratified. Once upon a time, at every service, we had trained intercessors who their main job would be to pray for the service, to pray for the worship, to pray spiritual protection on the congregation, on the leadership, to pray that there would be space for the Holy Spirit to move. They were at work. Just as the praise band is at work doing their jobs, just as the preacher is at work doing his job, so the intercessors were at work ensuring the spiritual strength of the service. Somehow we fell away from that. And honestly, it concerned me. It scared me. Were we trying to fall back and do things by our own power without depending on the power of the Holy Spirit? Last Sunday, without even being asked, one of the elders said, I'm on intercession today, and spent the service praying for us. This morning, we already saw. Bulletin said one thing. Sandy saw that something else needed to be done. And maybe she was in cahoots with Gladys. I'm not sure how that came about. And essentially said, forget the order of worship. We need to pray for the pastor right now. Thank you all so much for your prayers. Thank you even more. From the very depth of my being, thank you even more for following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Some fools are natural fools. They want to do things the natural way. But God's people follow His Spirit and are strengthened by His Spirit. Well, none of those sound very good, do they? And if I said you're all a fool, and you're each a fool in one way or another, I've insulted you so far. But there's another option. In our New Testament reading this morning, Paul talks about the price that he pays for being an apostle. He said, I think we apostles are like prisoners of war being led in a procession to be killed in the arena. Everybody laughs at us. Everybody makes fun of us. And he summed that up by saying, we are fools for Christ. But you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, and we are dishonored. Number 5 on your sheet is that some are fools for Christ. Paul gave up a very promising career to follow Jesus. Earlier in Galatians 1:14, he says, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age. He was a rising star. He was a superstar. Keep your eyes on this guy. He's going to be a big deal. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when he met Christ, he gave it all up. Later in Philippians, he said, I count it all as refuse. I count it all as dung, some translations say. The world would look at that and say, you fool. And Paul would say, darn right, I'm a fool. And I'm a fool for Christ. But that isn't just true for apostles. Listen to what Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 1:21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know Him. Somehow they looked at the stars. They looked at the earth. They made nature programs and didn't get that God was behind all of this. For since in the wisdom of the world, and it's smart people, isn't it? It's smart people who tell us we're stupid to believe in God. They know better. The Bible says they're the fools. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. The foolishness of what we preach, of course, is what Robert referred to in the opening prayer. That in Jesus Christ, God became a human being. He lived among us. He taught us. He showed us love. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, He was an example for us. He worked miracles. And then He died as a sacrifice for our sins. He rose again and conquered death. And when we put our trust in Him, we receive Him. We receive the forgiveness of sins. We receive eternal life with Him. When we repent of our sins, we enter the kingdom of God. And so all true believers are fools for Christ. I told you were one kind of fool or another. But there is someone who isn't a fool. Number 6 on your sheet is that God is no fool. 1 Corinthians 1:25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. You got that? Here's God's foolishness. Here's God's wisdom. Here's human foolishness. Here's human wisdom. God's foolishness is higher than human wisdom. His ways are beyond understanding. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Here's the truth about the foolishness that you and I believe. Here's the truth about the foolishness on which fools for Christ have staked their lives. Now listen, you know, we are living in a culture where believing in Christ, believing the teachings of the Bible, is more and more looked down upon, more and more patronized. More and more people consider us foolish or bigoted or hateful if we believe the teachings of the Bible. We're just not with it. But there is a wisdom in what we believe. It's not human wisdom. It's beyond human wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8 says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." You see the point there? Yeah, we have a wisdom, but it's not the wisdom they recognize at the university. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Fools for Christ, there is a wisdom that is yours, the very wisdom of God. So, what kind of fool are you? Are you an atheist fool? Are you a disobedient fool? Are you a natural fool? Are you a materialistic fool? What kind of fool are you? Think of that question and think of your answer every time you remember that it's April Fool's Day. And I invite you to join me. Let's be fools for Christ.